I think that this, I owe this notion, these notions and laws about stuff, either come from one, the yellow or the orange book, either the Idiot's Guide to Time Management or, you know, everything you always wanted to know about the yellow books or the orange books or the idiot guides. The real estate laws of stuff are that we have a very bad habit in our lives of not thinking about the real estate notion of location, location, location. You know, that's the notion in real estate, that everything's about location. Well, when it comes to stuff and organization, it's also all about location. Your kitchen counter should not have the red stuff on it that needs to be dealt with at some point in the future. Your kitchen counter should have the green immediate or maybe a box for yellow. Right at your fingertips should be phone lists that you use daily. They shouldn't be filed somewhere in a cabinet underneath four things and behind seven others. But we have a tendency sometimes to not organize ourselves to use the household real estate in the best way and to put the stuff that we need for better time management literally in arm's reach and get the other stuff packed away. One great strategy, if you have young children, by the way, that not only has to do with time management but just with keeping them happy. One of the problems with young children is they have so much stuff in terms of toys that cleaning it all up and getting it all organized takes a lot of time. Take half of it and pack it away. Put half of it out of reach, out of sight, out of mind. Every 3 months, rotate it. It's like getting new toys. It's like Hanukkah every day of the week. Ooh, presents! I haven't seen my Legos! They're so excited because it was packed away. But you also now have half the cleanup job because half of the stuff is rotated out or away. Okay. You need structures and habits to eliminate both old stuff and to make sure new stuff coming in goes in the right places. You cannot expect the people in your house, for example, to always put the boots in the front closet if you don't have a place for boots in the front closet and you don't have the structure and you don't have the shoe rack. You can't expect your spouse to always leave the car keys that you need for the car on a peg that's marked keys if you don't have a peg marked keys. And so you need the bins, the boxes, the pegs, the all of that, and sometimes it takes time to put those time management structures in place. One of the biggest problems we face with time management and organization is that I guarantee if I walked into any house, there would be a backlog of stuff that needs to get taken care of. And so we tend to say, well, I can't really take care of the fact that we don't ever have a place for keys until I clean off the back desk. When I clean off that desk by the back door, then I'll put a dish on the desk in the back by the back door with everybody's car keys in it. But until I clean off the desk, which is a huge, monumental task, we can't get that structure in place. And what I'm going to suggest is that sometimes you have to say, you know what, forget the old garbage. Sometimes I would even suggest a, a terrible strategy that one of the women we had clean once years ago did in our house, and it took us months to undo it. But, and that's just take everything that's out, that is keeping you from getting organized, and put it in a box, a bin, a bag, and say, I'll get to that when I get to that, but I'm starting fresh. I'm not throwing anything out because maybe there's something important there. I'm just putting it all away, and I'm getting the back desk cleaned off and putting three bins on it so that every day when the mail comes in, the mail gets immediately sorted and dealt with. Sometimes you have to start clean and fresh, but don't lock yourself in, say, I can't do that until I take care of everything else. Okay. And if you really, really, really have trouble with stuff, get help. There, believe it or not, are professional organizers. There are people who come into your house and clean up your stuff, who will, whether it's California closets, or there really are, if you look in the New York Times under, you know, I think in the Sunday magazine, there are actual organizations. You can go online. They're Organizers Anonymous or something. They will come, and they will put the structures in place into your house. And I, you know, working clinically, I've worked with families where this is such a big issue that literally houses have had to be condemned or, you know, so much has collected that people cannot function, and they really need professional help. Hopefully none of us are at that level, but don't be proud. If you need somebody to come help organize you, even if it's a friend or neighbor, consider doing it. Okay, step four, learn to tell time, and I mean that in two ways. First, to tell time how you want to use it, but also learn to tell time. I talked about discovering your personal and family clock, but next, let's say you've discovered I'm one of those people who's always early, or I'm one of those people who's always late. How do you reset it? What do you do to become a different person than you are in terms of your own personal time habits. And this is a challenge, but it is infinitely doable, partly by faking yourself out. My husband makes me crazy because the funniest thing was that for 2 years we commuted on the same train together, but we didn't leave the house at the same time. We walked to the train. The joke was, Rona and Mickey don't go together on the same train. Rona strolls like a lady to the train, and at the last minute, as the ding, 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 and you know, the arms coming down, you see Mickey running for the train, the last person, just to get on at the last minute. I can't live like him. I can't wait till the last minute. I can't run like he does. My short little legs are slower. I have to get there early and be waiting for the train. How does my husband accommodate for the fact that he's a last minute person? He makes me crazy because his watch is never right. His watch is always set fast. He would miss every train. His watch is always set 15 to 20 minutes fast. Now you would think, well, doesn't he knows it's set? He's the one who sets it. How is he faking himself out? Somehow, because it's always that way, it's been that way for years, he literally thinks ahead. He literally thinks, oh my gosh, he needs to be looking and be panicked and say, oh my gosh, I've missed the train, in order to get himself going and walk out the door. That strategy works for him. What has worked for me living with a man like this, because I'm the person who, you know, 10 minutes ago wanted to leave when we're going to a wedding or someplace together. I would be sitting there like this, you know, come on, let's go. What's worked for me is I read. I'm a big reader. So I will get all ready. I'll be totally dressed. I'm totally calm. And I used to sit there, you know, just boiling. And now I read. And when he's ready, and we go, you know, not for a train. If it were for a train, I would leave without him, and he would have to run, okay? But you have to reset your clock, and that requires really making a concerted effort and saying, I'm always late, I'm going to be on time. My suggestion about this, by the way, is start small, so that if you're someone who is chronically late, then identify one place in your life where you're going to be on time. And make a commitment to always be on time or early for that thing. If you're someone who is always way, way, way too early, say, is there one place where I could relax about this? And just, it's not going to matter. Do I have to be the first one on carpool line every day? You know, do I have to be there when the bakery opens? So what? Let me just take a step back. I don't have to do that. Question or comment? Well, right. I can't imagine who you might be talking about. Then you have to make a plan. You have to make a plan to look at the watch together and to say, what? Change all the clocks in the house. You can play around with clocks, but also sometimes you do have to just confront somebody and say, you know, you're saying we're not late, but it was supposed to be 5 o'clock, we were there, and now it's 10 after. And so we are late. Now, part of the issue, by the way, is there are some people who, when they're late, don't think 10 minutes is late. So you have to say, are we on the same page here, that 10 minutes is late? And also, it's different being late for a formal appointment and being late for, you know, a wedding that's called for 6 that never starts. You know, Jewish time. We never, look at us, we never start anything exactly right on time. One of the biggest downfalls to time management is procrastination. And it is human, very, very much part of human nature to put things off. We are more likely to put off those things which are difficult for us, those things which are painful for us, those things which are not enjoyable for us. All of the things we need to do for good time management. How many people here want to say, oh, good, a free Sunday, I'm cleaning closets? No, that's not what we want to do. Oh, good, let me pay those bills. Somebody does? You have somebody who does? No. Oh, really? Right, never happens. No. There are some people who are driven and say, a free Sunday, I've got to clean the closets. But most of us are not, you know, lovers of organizing. We do it because there are benefits. What we have to get in tune with, what we have to do to ourselves to get over procrastination, is we have to beat ourselves up about what happens when we procrastinate and how negative it is. Because, by the way, all of us who procrastinate, and all of us do it in some areas of our life, we hate the after effects. You hate it when, at the last minute, somebody told me this recently, they had to drive their child's college application to the college because it was too late to mail it. not even FedEx, not even, you know, Overnight Express, had to get in the car, drive 3 hours to hand deliver it to the admissions office. That is a perfect example of where not doing the time management up front costs you much more in the long run, and that you now have 6 hours in the car that you didn't have. This woman doesn't have 6 hours to give. She has to take a day off and go drive 3 hours out of town to drop off a college application. We have to remind ourselves at that moment when we're saying, I don't really have to fill out this form tonight. I want to just relax with this show, or I want to play cards with my friends, or I want to go out. We have to remind ourselves of, oh, yeah, but remember the last time I did this and how I had to drive those 6 hours? We have to remind ourselves. One of the problems is we have selective amnesia. And in the moment when we're deciding to procrastinate, all we can think about is the good stuff we're enjoying at this moment and not the consequences that are going to happen afterwards. Also, another issue with some of us in procrastination is that we don't do because we're thinking big. We're saying, I have to clean closets. Oh, my gosh, I have to clean the whole bedroom. I have to clean the whole house. I can't do it. I can't get organized. I did something as a personal experiment because I'm working with a woman who has huge time management and organizational issues, and I have not been successful in getting her to, like, move, because she keeps on saying, oh, if Dr. Novick, you should see my house. I don't know where to start. I can't start. So I did a personal experiment. I said, my house could use a touch or two of organizing. I don't have time to do everything, but I can do one little project, my bathroom, the master bathroom in my house. I am going to go through the medicine cabinet. I'm going to throw out the things that are from 1989 and no longer effective. I'm going to throw out the, you know, things with one pill left from the last time I had strep throat. I'm going to get rid of everything, and I'm going to clean off. I have a big vanity. I'm going to clean off the vanity, and I am going to make a commitment to keep that vanity clean from this point forward. And did it as, because I wanted to see, is there any benefit to this? This woman keeps on telling me, like, I can't do anything because it'll be a drop in the bucket and it won't be any good. And I have to tell you that I learned something in this exercise, that not only was it a very doable project, it took me one, you know, Motzei Shabbos for a few hours, I could do it, it was done. Not only was it very doable for me to keep a bathroom vanity clean, it's not like I said, I'm going to keep the whole bedroom, the whole house, the whole first floor, just a bathroom vanity clean. What I learned out of it was, this was very fulfilling. I loved getting up in the morning and looking at that vanity. I did this, and I'm still doing it, and I'm keeping it so clean. And I could go back to my patient and say, you know, I have to tell you something. I want you to try this. I want you to pick one thing, one surface, one desk, one counter, and all I want you to do this month is to clean that off and commit to keeping that clean. Forget the rest of the house. And I can tell you from my personal experience, it's going to feel good. So I think taking big tasks and breaking them into littler pieces that we can do will make a big difference. Step five, before we run out of time and it's like the biggest piece, planning and scheduling. Time management is all about thinking ahead. It is all about anticipating and having a plan and a schedule. Initial investment of time is going to save you hours down the road. I like a strategy called look backwards to plan ahead. If you know you have a task that is, I don't know, give me a task that you need to do in your household. What's a task? Make lunches. Okay, make lunches is a perfect example, although it's a very small one. You have to make lunches for the week. If you go down to the kitchen on Tuesday morning to make lunches and there's no bread in the house, you cannot succeed in that task. Now you're going to be crazy running and getting the bread, whatever. If you say, okay, on Monday I need to make lunches, let me look back. That means by Monday morning I need to have bread in the house. Let me look backwards. When's the time before Monday that I'm going to go shopping? Sunday I'm at a conference. Not shopping Saturday. Saturday night the store's not open. Friday I could do that. Will I get the bread? Will it stay? I don't think I'm shopping Friday, Thursday. So Thursday already I have to know I need to buy the stuff for lunches. To me, another example of something that's longer is whether it's taxes or, you know, doing a school project with a child is a perfect example. A child has a report that's due the end of January. And they'll come home and they'll tell you, I have a report due the end of January. I like to sit with that child at that moment and say, okay, let's work backwards. You have a book report due the end of January on Benjamin Franklin. How much time, let's say a book is about 100 pages, how much time do you need to read the book? To read a 100-page book, you need 2 weeks? Okay, so that means by mid-January, you have to have the book in your hands. If you need to have the, but wait a minute, you need some days to write the report. So let's add a week. Let's go back a week. By the first week in January, by the 10th of January, you need to have the book in the house, so you have 2 weeks to read it and a week to write. Now, in order to have the book in the house by the 10th of January, what day do we have to go to the library? Let's work backwards. Well, can't be Thursday night, you have drum lessons. Can't be Tuesday night, you have Mishmar. Can't be this night, but I drive carpool. Can't be this night, the library's not open late enough. Oh, a week earlier, we have to go to the library and get a Ben Franklin book. Now, if I don't do that, the whole schedule is going to be mixed up. And I think it's a very good skill to teach kids to take a complex task and literally pull out a calendar and say, okay, let's work backwards. Let's look backwards and count backwards. How many days do you need for this? How many days for that? How many days for that? I think it's a very good skill for kids. It's a good skill for us also. One of the problems we do is we overplan, which means we're guaranteed to fail. We not only try to put the rocks in the pickle jar, we say in addition to rocks, we're putting in some bricks. We're going to try to put in some, you know, I don't know, boulders. We're going to get everything in there. We have 7,000 things on the to-do list. The rule of thumb, by the way, about to-do lists is that if you have more than 5 things on your daily to-do list, that you are doomed to failure. Now, what I would say is that you can have 5 boulders, 5 rocks on your to-do list. You can have other sand, pebbles, and water. But you should have 5 priorities that you're geared to do no matter what today that you're going to have success with. And other than that, those are extras that it would be nice if I get to them today, but it doesn't have to be. I once gave a time management lecture in another town, and a guy came, I'm not joking, a guy came up and he said, doctor, this is my time management schedule. I've got 17 pages color-coded. I use the stickums. And then, you know, you turn to this page, we use a whiteboard marker. I'm telling you, everybody broke out in hives. Every single person in the audience said, oh, my gosh, he's scary. I mean, who runs a house like this? It was so labor-intensive. I couldn't figure it out, no matter what, how he explained it. So that in terms of scheduling and systems, you need whatever works for you. If you're a paper and pencil person and you need notes, then use notes. If you're electronic and you need Palm Pilots, then use Palm Pilots. It's what works. To me, what's most important is that things do not get lost. So if there are 3 critical things on my list for today, and then 5 or 6 or 10 things, if I get to it, would be nice, what happens at the end of today with the 6 things that were, if I get to it, would be nice, that I didn't get to? How do those get transferred to the next to-do list for the next day so that they don't get lost? And that's where you need a system that, again, is fairly flexible and fluid and easy to do. But you want to be sure that you don't over-schedule yourself and use reasonable tools. In terms of making it a family affair, whatever tool you use, it needs to be communicated to everyone in the family. The fact that there's a calendar that you carry in your wallet but nobody else at home sees doesn't help anybody when a call comes in and says, the doctor's canceling, the pediatrician's canceling the appointment, or can you come a half hour early for this? You really do need a central family scheduling calendar. I am a firm believer that you need something on a refrigerator door or on a kitchen, you know, a central place in the family where things are posted and where everyone can see it and where, by the way, you have deniability so that when your children come and say, you didn't tell me I have a doctor's appointment, it's on the calendar. You know, you didn't tell me we have to go to grandma's, it's on the calendar. You see, I did tell you, I wrote it down, it's there. And when your children say, you didn't remember to pick me up, so you didn't put it on the calendar. As soon as they get old enough, they should get in the habit of using the central system registry to schedule events and items. And finally, and then we'll have any discussion or questions before we have to stop, that we need to pat ourselves, our spouses, and our children on the back when we do a job well done. So often it's just, you know, well, you got ready on time. Good. That's what you're supposed to do. We should be turning somersaults. We should be doing, you know, headstands when our children are ready on time for school. I, by the way, think it is a miracle that they get out of the house and on a bus and to school every day with the knapsacks, the lunch boxes, the notes from home at the young age that they do. It really is quite amazing that they do it. And I think they deserve love, hugs, kisses, and pats on the back just for doing that. And by the way, I think my husband deserves it just for making his train also. You know, adults also, when they are organized, when they do things on time, when they don't keep you waiting, it goes a long way to say, I really appreciated that, thanks. You know, gee, that was great that we got our taxes done early this year. It was terrific that, you know, this we could be ready for the holidays so early, or that we weren't rushing like mad people the last minute before we had to get out of the house. When all is said and done, perspective is critical. That it really is very, very important to take a moment and literally stop and smell the roses and say, you know what, it's very important to time manage. It's very important to be on time, to not procrastinate, but it's also important sometimes to say, you know what, these are the best moments of our lives. They're the only moments that matter. So what if we're cuddling on the floor and we really should be doing, let's cuddle a few extra minutes. You know, so what if you really should have gotten ready 5 minutes earlier and were a few minutes late to go to someone's house, but we were having such a good talk. And that sometimes we have to relieve ourselves of the incredible pressure that the world puts on us to be every place at the right time, to do everything on time, and to just say, you know, our children, our families, our spouses, they're what we're here for. And the very wonderful sage George Carlin said that life is not measured in the breaths we take, but in the moments that take our breaths away. And those moments come, thank God, as parents, pretty amazingly frequently. And it's more important than being on time or getting someplace to take those moments and really enjoy them with our children and our families. So thank you all very much, and I think we're supposed to go downstairs now. But any last questions? Yes?
Yeah, one of the problems, I think, that happens in families is that, like, one person might be a really good time manager and will end up taking more and more tasks that other people aren't doing, and then they'll be resentment building up, and, well, you know, or whatever.
Right. The same way you have to manage when one person is a better cook and winds up doing all the cooking, is that in couples, we really have to openly negotiate and navigate and say, look, this isn't what I signed on for, and maybe it is the best use of my skills. If I'm the best chef in the family, maybe I should be the one who does all the cooking, but I just want to be recognized for it, and I also want to know, so what are you going to do to pick up, you know, the laundry or something else since I'm doing all the cooking. It may be, you know, in some families, I do believe we can't, it's not that we can't have pure parity. It's that sometimes in a family we have to use what we're each best at, and that's okay, again, if it's in the contract, if it's in the deal. If it's not what I signed on for, then we have to sit down together and say, wait a minute, I didn't sign on for this, and if I'm going to take on this responsibility, then what can you help me with? What can be different? The other piece of that is that, you know, we don't want to become enablers of each other. You know, I don't want to be the one who, I'm raising sons, so I don't want to be such a good cook and do all the typical female things so that I raise men who never can do any of those things. I feel very strongly that all my sons have to learn how to cook, do laundry, and take care of themselves. For their wives' sake, future wives' sake, I have to do that as well as for the sake of the planet. But in the same way, if you have a spouse who, you know, you may feel bad, I'm doing all the time management, and then this way my spouse is never learning to do it because I take care of it. I pay all the bills. They're never learning to be fiscally responsible. So you may have to, again, sit down and say, listen, I'm willing to do this, but it's really not good for us long term. And it has to become a process and a discussion. Other comments or questions? Yeah. Well, one thing is, sometimes you just got to take a wider lens. You have little children. when you have little children, and you know, I have a nephew who's 2 years old, and my youngest is 12. So I'm like indifferent, you know. Like my nephew comes over, and time is so different because I'm literally counting the minutes till his mommy comes and gets him. Because like every minute is vigilance. What did he put in his mouth? What did he touch? Don't touch the wires. Don't pull this. Max, don't touch that. Max, we literally say his name is Max. We're maxed out after he leaves. I have a different level of exhaustion with teenagers in my house, but it's totally different. So one of the things that I think is very helpful is if you take the wide-angle lens and the big picture, is to realize that at this phase, when you're raising very small children, that you do not get the pictures in albums, but once a year, if that. And because you're busier with buckling the shoes and tying the laces and putting them in their car seats, there will come a time in life when you have much more time for those things. And where you lose time is, you know, sitting, laying on your pillow at night saying, where are they going to go to school? And who are they going to marry? And are they going to, you know, be financially independent? Are we making the right choices? There are different ways that your time gets eaten, but you will have the time for that. So at every, one of the wonders of parenthood is it's never the same 2 days in a row. And if it feels like it's the same day in, day out, that's just for this week. Then your kids grow and change. You know, you're doing diapers endlessly until one day you're not. I remember feeling like my life had radically changed when I no longer carried a diaper bag. Like, oh my gosh, I don't have like this growth on the side of my hip. No child, no diaper bag. When the last one was out of diapers, it was like amazing how different your life is when you go into those phases of being a parent. So yes, there isn't time for it, but it's okay. There will be time for it later on. I hear a lot of noise, so I think we should head. Thank you.